The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Good morning, guys. Good morning to you, Davey.
Morning. Thanks for having us, Davey.
Of course, good to bring you guys back on as we deal with this ever-increasing high prices of motor vehicles. Makes you wonder, hey, they're really trying to get us mobilized or just to not have a car at all, boy. Now, gentlemen, a lot of developments took place over the past few years well. And I want to start the conversation off, before we get to the meeting that you all probably had yesterday, let's look at engine size, CCs in terms of engine. Maybe I could clarify for the nation, what caused these high prices for vehicles? Because gone are the days when you had a B11 and B13. I remember B13 was the thing. Now, the engines going now is ranging from 1600 CCs going up. What is the taxes afforded to persons if they cross 1900 CCs?
Well, David, the increase in taxes was one of the major issues. But then also, remember when this industry started, the foreign use industry, we could have imported cars of any age, cars that were much older, cars were 20 years, 25 years when it started. And then we had restrictions into the limitations into the age. So remember, the newer car get is more costly it will be. So it moved from that, it moved to 6 years, then 4 years, then 3 years, right? They also remember too, the manufacturers have changed their place of manufacturing and in order to keep prices down. Because when we started to bring foreign used cars, the price of a new car was like now, you know. Like in those days, we had the Sentra, and it was $150,000, $160,000. That is almost 30 years ago.
Mm.
And the manufacturers have readjusted the way they do things so we could get cars cheaper. And today, we still have a car, a new car, that they could get for $150,000. So in that way, it does not bad 30 years after again, a car for $150,000, $160,000. But in terms of the foreign used car, right, we have moved away from this age that where we used to bring the car, we could have been 15, 20 years old, because remember, technology change, we move in a direction of greener cars, all these issues. So that is why the cars prices now, the new cars, as a matter of fact, would be the preferable choice for citizens of the country. Of also compounded with taxation. Taxation have changed based on CC. Like when you cross 1600 CC and then you go to 2000 CC, the taxes escalate very high, right? The explanation and the reasons were because of the fuel consumption. We were importing fuel, we had a fuel subsidy and all these things. But to get an affordable car, people can still get an affordable car, could be new or could be used.
Now, we're talking engine size and we're dealing with CCs, as you mentioned. I think I have a call coming through. Hello, good morning. Quickly, good morning.
Oh, they're bringing cheap Chinese vehicle in this country, costing a hot $500,000.
Hello. I do get where we're coming with cheap Chinese vehicle costing $500,000. I was getting to the point where we're bringing in vehicles that doesn't even carry an engine, but the price extremely high. Is it that they're paying higher taxes on the port? What is this tax conversation that is happening with these vehicles that has caused concern for you, Rundle Fields?
Well, firstly, I mean, when we're talking about a vehicle that doesn't carry engine, right? We're talking about an electric vehicle. I mean, when I talk about the way it's manufactured, the chips you need to get, the electric component, that is why most times, because it's advanced technology, electric cars are that expensive. But I don't think that is the point you want me to get to. You want me to get to the point with the issue we have with customs, with the mild hybrid versus, yeah. So I know
so
that.
So before we get to what, identify to our listening audience, what is a mild hybrid?
Right, correct. So the thing is, we have hybrid vehicles, right? So everyone just hear the word hybrid and just think it's just solely a hybrid vehicle, one type of hybrid. We have micro hybrid, we have mild hybrid, and we have strong hybrid, right? Micro hybrid is a hybrid vehicle that assists the battery on it, assists with the accessories, the air condition, startup, stop, them kind of things, basic. Nothing with propulsion of the vehicle.
Mm.
The mild hybrid is does all of those things as a micro hybrid, but it also has torque contribution, which means it contributes to the propulsion of the vehicle working in tandem with the engine, which is the internal combustion engine, right? And the strong hybrid works very much in the same way when it comes to propulsion, just at intervals. The strong hybrid, its motor has the power to propel the torque, produces enough torque contribution for to propel the vehicle on its own. The issue that we're having is that we've had, this is not no new law, and this is the next thing that frustrating to us too. There are a lot of people who are dealers and should know better, who just not edified on the entire position and going and cast a set of things out there. They're scaring people to an extent, and they're putting a lot of misinformation out there. This is not an issue of a new tax being applied. This is an issue of a misinterpretation of a legal notice that has existed since 2022. This, Mr. Barber will tell you also, is something that we have faced when it comes to sunset clauses and legal notices, that many times, and this has nothing to do with even government, this sometimes has to do with a new administration of the customs many times. And they, a new batch of customs officers, some that possibly had better understanding or was a wrong when the legal notice was passed, leaving, and new persons ascending to higher positions, and then new persons having another interpretation. And that is exactly what happened. One of the issues particularly with this is that customs, and this is something that we have brought up, customs clearly is classifying the mild hybrid as it is classed as the micro hybrid. Back in 2017, there was a dispensation of micro hybrids that was here. The mild hybrid really wasn't on the drivers yet. The micro hybrid was there together with the more or less, let's say the strong hybrid, right? So the micro hybrid, there were some Serenas back then around 2017, 2018 that would not propel in the car. Some dealers decided to go to court after we advised them not to, because after our association realized that this vehicle doesn't, the battery doesn't propel the car, we told them they would lose in court. They took customs to court on the micro hybrid, and customs won that battle. Customs now, it is our belief that customs now, based on having even further conversation with them yesterday, that their interpretation of the mild hybrid is that it is a micro hybrid. And that is something that we, as I said, had discussions when we were in the meeting with the minister yesterday with them. And that is something that we are going to bring solid evidence to them when we go back to meet with them. The mild hybrid does propel the car. The mild hybrid does have torque contribution. The mild hybrid is not a micro hybrid. So it is because there's a misinterpretation we are finding ourselves in this problem at this point in time.
Let me take this call quickly. Hello, good morning.
Morning, I just want to inform the citizens of this country that don't get tired with these hybrid and electric vehicles, because they will have very, very little resale value. As that's why internal combustion engine that can last 50 years, once you take care of it, you think an electric vehicle will last 20, 50 years like a ICE engine?
All right, well, is a conversation that Mr. Barber and Rundell Fields could answer. So, I mean, that's a very, very, I didn't look at that aspect of things. The resale value in these vehicles, I mean, I don't want to digress too much from our conversation on the tax, but how are we faring in that aspect, gentlemen?
Davey, I just want to read one thing before we kind of go off this topic. I want to just read for you what the legal notice said. And you could give your interpretation of it or whoever is listening.
Mm.
So the legal notice that we are guided by and that we have been guided by since 2022 clearly states here, right? A new hybrid vehicle means a vehicle which imported for private use with an engine size not exceeding 1599 cc, right? So this is what they classify as a hybrid vehicle, and capable of being propelled by a combination of an internal combustion engine and an onboard rechargeable energy system or other energy storage device where the electric motor does not exceed a maximum power of 105 kilowatt. Now you see, And the first time here, capable of being propelled by a combination of an internal combustion engine and an onboard rechargeable energy system. It never say here that where the motor has to be working full time, or even the lower spec of the motor, it give you a higher spec of the motor, 105 kilowatt. It never say it has to start from 10 kilowatt or 5 kilowatt or something like that. And this is where we have some misinterpretation that we are dealing with right now.
And that brings me to my next question to you. Before you jump in, Rondell, I wanted to get this question, and maybe you all can chime in on it. As we're dealing with the hybrid, you have talked about custom officers moving up in rank, some retiring. As far as the understanding that is being brought to the fore, right, I am getting the impression that should the government and those in authority start looking at getting mechanics and engineers into the custom and excise division, so that when we are dealing with these type of scenarios, they are learned individuals in that specific field that can attest, okay, this is a micro hybrid, a mild hybrid, this is a gasoline engine, a four-cylinder, a six-cylinder diesel engine, whatever it is. They have a better understanding, because what I am getting is that you're having persons in these divisions that are imposing taxes, and it appears to me that it is subjected to each individual's understanding of the law, and they met and they deal with the public accordingly, even if it's unfairly done so. What are your have you all had any conversations with the minister going back? I mean, you should think in that direction, because if you're saying that these people, when they finally get an understanding of what this is, because you all explained it, they either retire or move on. You get some young ones coming in from school, they now get into customs and excise, they don't have a clue, they pay a piece of paper, they don't even understand 100 what they're reading. They just know that this vehicle come in, that'll put taxes, that'll do this. Could we look at getting mechanics in?
I mean, I can't speak to how the government wants to hire and hire persons, but I mean, your suggestion is a worthy one. You would want somebody with some kind of, even if it's on a reference capacity, you understand, and you refer to figure out or to get a better understanding, and somebody that is knowledgeable too, not just somebody who has a name, and yeah, the person that has experience, as I said, and has some kind of credential to validate.
That's right.
Correct. To validate that their credentials are worthy. So, yeah, I mean, maybe even hiring to the customs department referral, I don't see an issue with that. I mean, definitely that might help clear up some of the issues. On an additional to that, too, before making some of these new job decisions, that you have consultation. Because if there was a consultation before from customs, then, as I say, some of the issues that we're raising now, some of the clarity that both sides needed, both parties needed, may have been discussed and hashed out, which like a lot was done. We're still in the middle of it. It isn't over as yet. But at the end of the day, the discussion would have started. I just want to pitch back a little bit to the insinuation of the gentleman of if you buy a hybrid car now, what happened to you next 20 years? I wonder if he understands that Trinidad and Tobago manufacture cars. And if he's looking at the world and the type of vehicle that the world is beginning to manufacture. We are importers of cars. So at the end of the day, if you, in the next 20 years, a petrol vehicle might be obsolete. So for sure, it might have no value at all. At the end of the day, let's look at the transition of cars that were gasoline that the manufacturers have gone either e-power or hybrid. You're talking about the Axel, you're talking about the Fielder, you're talking about the Nissan Note, you're talking about the Nissan X-Trail. All of these vehicles that were deemed common, the normal Nissan X-Trail and Note we knew 10 years ago, is no longer gasoline. Is e-powered now, you understand? Yeah. So the thing is, if you don't get on the train with where the world and the manufacturers are going, then the vehicle you have that is might be become obsolete. You might have a gasoline, it might be viewed then as how we view CNG now. So, you know, sometimes I just like to not to be combative to the gentleman, but, you know, to edify, to educate.
Yeah, as we deal with what is taking place presently, I mean, I understand what you're talking about, futuristic and years to come, but do we have a resale value for electric vehicles? I'm talking about full EV and not the hybrid ones. I'm talking full EV vehicles. Do we have a resale value for these vehicles?
I mean, at the end of the day, talking about EV now, being introduced into the country for the last 3 to 4 years, if so much as yet. You're going to really see that in about, I would say, a year or two. You understand? And I think it will. These are some concerns that was raised on the hybrid as well. And now you're seeing people buying foreign used, local used hybrid vehicles. So, I mean, I'm not concerned, as I say, when it comes to that. If the world is going a particular way, China is going fully electric, India has gone electric and hybrid, all of the countries, Thailand, the only country that seems to want to really bring back fossil fuel is the United States under the current administration.
Come again? Where are we now, Mr. Babwa, with respect to the taxes that, as you mentioned, is nothing new, but it's an ongoing conversation that is happening with taxes on motor vehicles. Where are we now? What are some of the things you all were able to hash out or even go back to the drawing board on when you had that meeting yesterday with the minister and his team?
Right. The customs made some decisions over the past 2 weeks. That again, without conversation, without any sort of discussion or notification, they impose a tax overnight, which was based on the gasoline car of that engine size, because their decision was, and their interpretation of the law was, that this mild hybrid will be classified now as a gasoline car. So with all the taxes that you'll pay for a gasoline car, they say you have to pay that. They held our documents from the past 2 weeks. They released the cars, but held the documents, so you're unable to sell the car and license it. And now they are planning to, those cars that came in before, well, I understand they had another legal notice last week, Thursday. That is what we understood yesterday. So before that legal notice, we're going to be charging taxes, kind of retroactive, which again is wrong.
But then
we had this discussion with them, and they were the document that they bought in there, as what Mr. Fields has said, was the one from the Serena, which was the document that they were referring to. And we were able to kind of give them some explanation and tell them, well, this is not the scenario with these new hybrid cars. And then they requested that we send some new documents in, and we come in this morning for a meeting with customs themselves, which is something that should have happened before all this took place. And this is what we keep saying. So this morning in this meeting now, we will have to show them how this vehicle works, how the motor, they might have new technology now. Eh? So a lot of people might not understand. They will say mild hybrid. But in the mild hybrid, they have an internal starter generator that works as a generator, and it also works as a motor. Right? This is a new technology. Everything has, you know, keep changing. And the motor that you know might be a motor could be defined as something different. With a motor, also acts as a motor. So they requested some document, and we have to go in this morning, Davey, and have that discussion with them, and then see again how they will deal with this matter.
Rondell, engine sizes does play a part in how they tax the vehicles and what have you. We understand that part. Help the listening audience, those in the maxi taxis right now, to get some kind of appreciation as to these mild hybrids. Or half engine kind of vehicle, half EV vehicle, so to speak, if you want to bring it down to layman terms. What size engine does the Fielder, the Serena, the X-Trail, any of these hybrid vehicles, what size engine, what CC engine do they come with?
That is the beauty of the combination of the electric motor with the engine. Some of those vehicles that you're talking about, like the Serena, was 2000 CC, X-Trail was 2000 CC. So they were out of the reach of particular persons because of the taxes on those, and that the tax bracket, when you cross 1599 CC, is astronomical. But because they have been now combined with that electrical support, the CC rating is significantly less. So you're seeing these vehicles now at 1499 CC. So that's specifically why you might see men now driving Highway Star Serena that e-powered. You're seeing more people driving the e-power. The e-power X-Trail, some of these cars, when you're thinking about buying the full gasoline model, when there was the full gasoline model, because some of them don't have the full gasoline model anymore, as I just alluded to, you couldn't pay for it because you were talking about being in a tax bracket that was astronomically high.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that point that you brought up there, because it shows the value of these vehicles now becoming hybrid vehicles, so that there's less need now for that engine torque, because you get that torque assist or that torque support or that direct torque propulsion from the electric component that's on board.
But do you think government understands this? I mean, I know you guys are going into this meeting this morning, and I want to wish you all the best and success with it. Because when we look at the prices, I was told recently at a hybrid conference in the West that the EV vehicles are heavier than the gasoline and petrol vehicles, the fossil fuel cars. They are heavier. The cost of production is higher, so to speak. So that when they are being imported from China and other parts of the world and it's coming to Trinidad and Tobago, you find yourself buying a car that is taking you. You don't have any engine because it's full EV. It's an electric vehicle. But you are spending well over $250,000. You're going into $350,000+ to own this car that doesn't carry an engine. Now, the price being paid for it on the open market to bring it in the country is significantly low. See. However, they say when it hit here is high taxes. How is that possible? Has the government and the minister able to explain to you all why this is so? Or was it an error and an oversight?
Well, Davey, I can understand people's concern. But remember, on an EV, is only when the CIF value is over $400,000, then you pay taxes. Under that, you don't pay any taxes. So, and of course, people have a choice. If they want to buy a hybrid, they want to buy a, you can still get some gasoline cars. If they think that an EV is too costly, then they have a choice. But another thing with an EV, you have to take into consideration, when you purchase an EV, you have an upfront cost, right? But your daily or weekly or monthly gasoline bill disappears. Mm. Like from putting $1,000 gas a week or $500 gas a week, you might pay $20 per charge if you're charging your car. So if you compound that over 6, 7, 8 years, if you're paying $1,000 a month in gas, for a year you'll pay $12,000. For 10 years, $120,000, right? When with a gasoline car, you will have that that bill to pay weekly, monthly, whenever I fail. And you'll also have servicing to do. So you have to understand that this cost, and where people say the car is extremely costly. Of course, it costs a lot more to build an EV, an electric or hybrid car, because that battery is very costly, right? The material that is used in that is a costly material. So you have to, when you're talking about price, you have to also talk about the run-on effect, the day-to-day running cost that you have fully eliminated. And that is something people must consider, that when you buy an electric car, you know your day-to-day going to gas station, full in gas, that gone. And the cost to manufacture these cars is extremely high. Of course, you have to understand that you will see the cars cheaper in other countries, you know, but you have to also take into consideration when people bring cars here, they have to give a warranty. A battery may not be so cheap, right? A battery for an EV. So, you know, you have to factor all that in if your warranty goes, because you get much longer warranties on these cars also in the EV. You're getting 8 years warranty on the batteries and in these cars. So you have a warranty for a much longer period, right? So these are the points that persons must take into consideration when they're making these statements, and they must be educated, you know, a little more, get a little more knowledge how the automotive industry has changed. And we are just an end user, so we have absolutely no say in what the manufacturer, and we have to purchase and sell what they manufacture.
What are we hopeful for to come out of this meeting with the minister that you all are revisiting this morning?
Well, I'm definitely hopeful that there's going to be resolution. We're going to come to the only factual understanding of what the interpretation that has been there, what the interpretation and understanding on how a mild hybrid operates and works. And I think then we would have no issue going forward. I mean, we have the data, we have the evidence that supports our claim. They have produced evidence that in my humblest respectful belief, I believe that they have produced evidence based on the document that I was given yesterday, that one speaks to a judgment pertaining to the micro hybrid, which is a vehicle that is not up for discussion right now, and also two, a World Customs Order code that passed that spoke that a particular vehicle that I consider that they're classifying the micro hybrid as also. So I think, I mean, once we sit today, we have a discussion, we present our data that we have where it shows that these cars, the ISG component or ISG device rather, does contribute and we show does contribute torque to the propulsion of the vehicle. I can't see that we're in any disagreement with what the legal notice has made legitimate to receive exemption. One of our problems, as I said, there are a couple of dealers, some of them who are not under the organization, who are going to social media, who are not aware, not informing the public properly, and not even making our position when we go to consult with the other parties, because then we have to explain that they don't understand what we're talking about. Because as I said, this is not a new tax. This is just a misinterpretation of our existing legal notice.
Just as we get set to wrap the interview this morning, one texter says, most useless interview. No figures customs on customs. Charges 20%, dealer charges 40%. What is the difference with the charges between custom, what custom would charge, and what a dealer would charge? Because there's a misconception, or there's a notion out there. Let me not say misconception, but there's a notion out there that dealers' markups are significantly high, as opposed to what they will pay for the actual vehicle and importation and the custom charges.
Right. I don't know what to say. Firstly, we don't apply taxes to cars. So long and short of the story, if custom duty is 20%, we can charge 40%. Let me just roll with the punches, and I guess he's trying to say that dealers mark up cars too much and we don't like them. This. At the end of the day, as I always say, as a business person, if you are a business person and you have made an investment, you've procured US, which is like gold to find. You have staff to pay. You have mortgages to pay. You have expenditure. And that's why, you see, I always blame this on our failure to educate our citizenry on financial literacy. Because if we do that, people will understand what it takes to run a business. You have a warranty to supply as well. You have employees to pay. You have utilities to pay. And that's it. You have taxes to pay. You understand? Generally, income taxes, all these things. When you run a business, it's not just on a one car by one car. It's about your holistic business and what your business needs to sustain itself, to be successive, and to be successful. And many persons who don't have that understanding of our business most times look for it on a car by car importation. And this is why I always encourage people, if you have an issue with a business making a profit, the government has made provision for you to import a vehicle for yourself, where you will be able to eliminate a dealer, eliminate whatever markup he has, but you will take all the risk on your hands. So if you buy a vehicle and the vehicle is a dud and the battery don't roll, that's your risk to take. So it's a very unfortunate and unfair position when people believe that you are to invest significantly, you are to procure US at very hard measures, hard times, and then you must just say, here what? I am going to give away a vehicle. What the thing that keeps this business very competitive, Davey, is that we have almost 400 dealers here. So at the end of the day, that we have 400 dealers, and that at any time persons regulating their prices will cause prices to fall. You see it in the market all the time. So I mean, as it any other business, the new car industry, even if you're talking about bread, people don't sell bread daily. And they don't make a profit on the bread they're selling you. Sometimes they're making double the amount they cost to buy the bread. But because they could pay $20 for the bread, they don't mind paying for it. You're not studying it costs them $10. So, I mean, that's just generally to say that, hey, we cannot make an excuse for being a business. We cannot make an excuse for turning our profit when there's such a significant output and expenditure involved.
Well said. And I cannot shoot down anything on that level. One texter is asking me, who is repairing EV cars? If you could quickly tell us, point in a direction. And they also ask, does your association represent all or just a percentage of used car dealers? Well, I think you just answered that, because not all used car dealers are in the association. Some are. So in terms of repairs.
And Davey, we advocate that a lot of persons who's selling these cars should have the capacity, the technical knowledge, and the persons to repair the cars. So you don't want people just selling cars. And coming back to the point Fields just make and the The text I just told you that the cars, the profit margin and thing like that, right? You, maybe you could get a car cheaper by someone, but they don't have the capacity, the capability to repair the car. So persons that have to send people for training on these cars and things, they will pay for that training. That training is not free.
Understood.
And you have and understand that. So whenever persons purchase a car, they could find out from the individual, are you repairing these cars? Do you know someone? Can you recommend someone? And that is, I can personally recommend technicians for repair cars for individuals.
Final question for you, coming from a texter in Las Lomas. Is there any radiation being in these full electric vehicles?
Radiation is not a concern. These vehicles don't have high radiations because these vehicles are tested in first world markets. Right, you have an electrical component, mm-hmm. like using any electrical device. There's mm-hmm. a very low level that you'll get from anything you use. Using your phone, you might get more radiation than from a car.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We have to leave it there as we are out of time. I must say thank you so much for coming and sharing and clearing up some of these issues, because a lot of persons have concerns when it comes to these electric vehicles. And good luck this morning. I think we will have to talk to the producer and revisit with you guys early next week to find out the outcome of this meeting and how it will benefit citizens attempting to bring in cars or even purchase cars from these dealers. Thank you very much, Mr. Babwa and Mr. Rondell Fields.
Thank you very much, David. You have a nice day.
Same to you. Rondell, I'll be calling you later this morning.
No problem, my brother.
Have a good one, buddy. Take care.
Thanks.
All right.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.